Oh my God.
It's happened.
Oh my God.
We've never had a worst to first. Hurst.
That is neat. We need to think about
it. Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
And this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world rankings of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Well, Squirrel, today we are going to be ranking the top 5 adult cartoon TV shows.
Coming right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 Face-Off. Actual facts. It's the top 5 Face-Off. Facts are exact. Top 5 Face-Off. Top 5 Face-Off. Official world ranking. What's next? You decide.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, rankers. Welcome back to the show. Or if this is your first time, welcome.
Hello.
For those who are our new rankers, why don't you tell them what we do here and why we do it?
Yes, hello, new rankers. You're listening to this because everybody else has skipped over it. Basically, what we do here is we get a random topic which is chosen by our Patreons, and we pick the top 5 and the worst thing from that topic and lay it out for you, our rankers. And then you come to our website, www.top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote to see which one of us is correct, because one of us is always correct. And that will become the official top 5 list for that subject.
Excellent stuff. But we don't like to get straight to the point because we're British. So
no.
What's been going on?
I've been to Italy, mate.
You fancied that? I said we knew this about you. They didn't when it came to the biscuits. You had all the fancy ones.
Yeah. Although, yeah. No, I had all the good ones.
So, Rankus, completely randomly, Squirrel and I both went on holiday last week, not together. We just happened to have booked it. And in accordance with the biscuits, I went to Wales, Squirrel went to Italy.
Yes, I went to the Italian Alps.
But I didn't need a passport, so that's all right.
No, that's true. We'll be talking about passports in a bit. But the weather was very nice in the Italian Alps. It was around about 1 degree during the day, -5 during the night.
Gosh, were you skiing, man?
No, we weren't skiing. It was a work thing. It wasn't an actual holiday, although obviously, you know, I still had a good time. I didn't go skiing. I did pack a coat. I packed like jeans and fucking thermal leggings and gloves and snow boots. They took up fuck tons of room in my luggage because we didn't have, what's it called when it goes into the plane? Hold luggage. Right. Just that kind of carry-on. And it took up loads of space, so I couldn't take as many T-shirts as I normally do, which is very sad. And literally none of it came out of my suitcase again because I just wore shorts and a T-shirt. Because of course I did, and I don't know why I packed any of that shit.
I'm guessing you weren't out in the snow that much then.
Yeah.
In shorts and a T-shirt.
Yeah, fine. It just, like, 0 degrees C is perfectly acceptable for shorts and a T-shirt.
There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
You should probably get studied.
Maybe.
About not getting hangovers and not feeling the cold.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I should donate my glorious body to medical science.
Yeah.
Cool. But the weather was very good.
Well, yes.
Yes. How was it in the Wales?
Well, you'd be surprised to know that it rained a lot.
I don't know.
As is the nature of Wales. So we were staying in a specifically, not just dog-friendly, but a dog-specific holiday accommodation. It's a little cottage.
Okay.
Normally there are 2 cottages, semi-detached, but because it was January, we were the only ones there, which was nice, which meant we didn't have other people to wrangle with, although there was...
Or to disturb,
A couple with their dog arrived a couple of hours before us on the Friday and left on the Saturday. Now, Carly thinks that she saw them arguing and this was maybe an attempt to get away and reconcile or something that fell apart. I like to believe that because I don't want to think that it was our dogs constantly shouting through the narrow part of the wall at their dog that just made them decide that their weekend is not going to last even 24 hours. But I'm glad they went because every time their dog shouted, our dogs shouted. It was lovely, but it was up a mountain pretty much. Mm. So it had its own weather system, which was rain, always rain.
Nothing but rain.
So to get to anywhere, you had to drive half an hour. And whenever we got there, it just wasn't raining quite so much. There was a bit of rain, but mostly it was okay. The second you got back to the cottage, absolutely pissing with rain again.
All right. Weather tick.
I suppose that's a little bit of what's going on and a little bit of weather for us, isn't it?
That is absolutely my what's been going on as well. But would you like to know what's been gripping my shit, Hurst?
Go on, hit me.
So this all started because when I went to Italy, I arrived in Italy, as you do. I showed my passport to the nice man at passport control. Got to the hotel, went to give them my passport to check in, and didn't have it anymore. Oh, dear. So, you know, I dealt with this as the way I normally deal with things, by shrugging and seeing if it worked out. So, in the end, I had to apply for an emergency passport. This is not what's gripping my shit. This stuff just happens. People have had worse problems. It's fine. So, I got an emergency passport. So, I couldn't go through the biometric scanners when I got back to Luton. I had to kind of queue up. And this is what's gripping my shit. There were 15 passport control booths, whatever you want to call them, when you arrive at Luton Airport. Three of them were staffed, and one of them was purely for the people whose biometric passports weren't working properly. So there was two people trying to deal with anyone that didn't have a British biometric passport, right? Because they had to be British ones, and anyone that had children under 10. Everyone. There was so many fucking people in this queue. And I'm thinking, this is some people's first impression of the UK. This is the first thing they're ever going to see. And it is just fucking ridiculously bad. It's so badly run and organized. And you're just like, ugh. It was just under 2 hours for me to get through this queue. And that was the shorter one, because this was the queue for British people with children under 10 or without a biometric passport. Not for anyone else in the world, who were in a queue that went back all the way basically to where we got off the plane.
Wow, is this the new approach to net immigration then? Just make it seem so unappealing to holidaymakers that they definitely don't want to emigrate.
It was just so ridiculous. Like, I understand that obviously sometimes people get ill and you're short-staffed, but if this was like a business, they would not be allowed to get away with it. Like,
I feel like they should have, like at the supermarkets, when there's a big queue and suddenly someone over the tannoy goes, all multi-skilled personnel to the checkouts, please. All multi-skilled personnel to the checkouts.
That's it.
And then suddenly all the checkouts are staffed, everyone goes through, and then they can shut them down again and go back to their business.
Yes. I'm aware, like, checking passports is probably a bit more involved than scanning things, although technically I guess you're just scanning things.
Yeah, I don't see that it's massively more involved. You don't even have to open a till. You just have to look at it, ask a couple of questions, and then say, yeah, you look like that. Carry on.
I think knowing what to do in situations where everything isn't perfect is probably where the training kicks in. It's like pilots, right? 95% of the time they don't really have to be there, but the 5% of the time they do need to be there, you really want them to fucking be there.
I don't think you can really liken, is that a word? Don't think you can really liken passport control to pilots.
Are you looking for the word compare, mate?
If it gets intense, I bet there's a button they press and then all the burly guys and ladies with guns and stuff come out going, what's going on? Whereas the pilot doesn't press a button and get burly guys to land the plane. I reckon it'd be well easy to do passport control.
Well, there's Hurst's offensive comment for today for a group of people. Your job is shit and easy. I don't want to shit on the passport control people, because obviously they were there and they were doing their best, the three that had bothered to turn up. It's kind of the whole organisation of
it. I'm not shitting on them. I'm shitting on the whole industry, the whole organisation, not multi-skilling people. I mean, What are they doing, man?
Malks. Let us know.
Let us know what?
Airport Malks. Let us know, like, how hard it is to be a passport control person.
Wow.
Get in touch.
Airport Malks. I reckon the plural there is definitely optimistic. The singular would probably be optimistic, but you never know. We had Biscuit Malk last week, so you know what's been gripping my shit?
What has been gripping onto your shit, Hurst?
The goddamn dogs have been getting on my tits real bad. So we took the worst two away, Eddie and Doug, because we have a lovely new dog sitter called Maisie. We don't want to scare her off right now, because she also dog walks for us as well. She'll take Fondy out, the only one that can really reliably be taken out for a walk. So we took Doug and Eddie. And on one occasion, Doug managed to barge past Carly as she was opening the gate and escape. And to the fields that we had surrounding us on a hill that were not nice and flat grounded, and they were bobbly and steep and full of sheep. So imagine Doug's enthusiasm to come back, as I called, when there was sheep to chase. So basically, I was chasing around because Carly and her asthma, and let's face it, even on straight flat ground, she's a full danger. So I had to chase these fucking dogs. Well, only one, Eddie was back shouting, making it worse. I was chasing Doug around a mountain. I couldn't see him half the time. The only way I could locate him would be where the herds of sheep were running. Like, okay, somewhere behind that, looking for it. And then, yeah, there's a Doug running around after them. And he did this for about 10 minutes, just chasing them and chasing them. And I'm rushing out, like, Doug, Doug, get over here. Douglas, that's not, he's obviously not interested in that. It's like, Dougie, come back, be a good boy. Like, nah, fuck right. You. I'm chasing sheep. And eventually, after about 10 minutes of this, he did get himself a bit worn out. And he managed to corner a sheep. And it turned round and looked at him, and suddenly he wasn't quite so brave because the sheep was bigger than him.
Yeah, it's quite big, yeah.
The chase, the instinct had taken him so far, but the takedown and the kill and eat was definitely many generations of dog ago. Yeah, so he just sort of looked at there. When I called him, he looked like he was kind of glad to have an excuse to get out of the session. And he's like, lucky this time, sheep, I've got to go back and see my person. But otherwise, he would have been done for, but... little shitbag had me running around the mountain, almost breaking my ankles for 10 minutes, which sent me off to a bad day after that, to be honest, because we went to the beach after that and they shouted at other dogs, just bad dogs. And then just moments before we started this, so I had to do a bit of carpet cleaning when I got home because the other dog said, especially Charlie, had taken on herself to use upstairs as a toilet. So I cleaned out the office. And then just moments before we recorded, I went to brush my teeth. After having shampooed the carpet, at least it smelled nice. And then 2.5 minutes it took me to brush my teeth. Charlie had pissed on the floor and Eddie had come in and cocked his leg to piss on top of it. Because you could tell the different types of piss by the little round puddle and then the trails of the piss that go off. I was absolutely fucking fuming. So unfortunately, I had the carpet cleaner already set up. So I just got that on again. I'm so annoyed. I wish I didn't have dogs. Stupid dogs. Don't get dogs.
Welcome to Top 5 Face Off, listeners. The UK's number one podcast when it comes to identifying individual animals' piss and shit.
Yes. You do know who's done what after a while. Bad dogs. So, that's been gripping my shit.
All right, good.
I'm glad to have that off my chest. I'm feeling a bit better.
I'm pleased that this is a cathartic session for you, Has. I'm pleased we're doing some good.
So yes, now that we've recorded 20-odd minutes of ranting and raving, I suppose we should find out what happened last week with the biscuits. Now, you're staring down the barrel of a 4P day right now, which has never happened to you before. I think it's only been a back-to-back you've ever faced. I don't even think you've struggled with a 3P, just a 3, isn't it? So I'm on 3P and I'm looking for a 4P day here.
All right. Talk to us about votes. Quite a lot of votes. Not so many comments this week, Hurst, but we'll go through them as always. Who do you think got in there first, Hurst?
Meg98.
Meg, what time do you listen? Like, honestly. But anyway, she says, close one this time around, but chocolate hobnobs just don't do it for me. Sorry, Hurst, sad face. There we are. Hurst gets my vote purely for the milk chocolate hobnobs, although I prefer the Aldi chocolate Oaties variety, brackets, cheaper too, close brackets. I don't shop at M&S Ocado that much, so most of Squirrel's choices means nothing to me. Sorry. That's from Jones. Jones, just go to a shop. You know.
No, Jones, you stick with your cheap Oatie crumbles. They are decent and definitely the best of biscuits.
Has to be Squirrel, as golden crunch creams are so good I don't buy them lest I eat the whole lot in one go. Chocolate hobnobs are a very close runner-up. Brackets, sorry, Hurst, close brackets. That's from Kern. Thank you,
God,
Kern.
They're really polite this week, aren't they? We're getting lots of apologies for our lack of votes.
Yes, let's see if we can't find a ruder one as we go on. A vote for you, Hurst, that clearly says, I do enjoy a good dunker. So that could be rude. Yeah.
Giggity.
Another vote for you. I bloody love a milk chocolate hobnob. That's all that says. Anonymous, don't forget to put your names on these rankers. Like this. Hi, it's Ohio. I've not heard of a lot of these biscuits, but I have heard of Oreos, which sadly for Hurst, it is downfall as I absolutely hate them. Sorry, Hurst. That seems unfair.
But you did it anyway.
But he did it anyway. So sad times. Here is a, as often, kind of strange one from William Preston. He says, "That William Preston seems like a hoopy fruit. Crunch creams, brackets, ginger variety, close brackets, are often overlooked. Solid work. Bill Preston." That's a vote for me.
Was that a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yes, it is. Hoopy Fruit is from Hitchhiker's, yes.
That is pretty niche. Well played, Bill Preston.
Yes, it is. Vote for you. Very basic biscuits, but sometimes less is more. And that's from Matt, brackets, not Laura, who can't eat biscuits.
Oh, gosh, so I did not notice that. She's... Biscuits are, I don't know. Poor old Laura.
Excellent. Welcome to Top 5 Face-Off, where your comments get your illnesses discussed on a podcast.
Really feel for Laura there.
All right, cool. I'll just beep out the details. Too much chocolate on the squirrel front. I even managed to not let your worst picks influence my vote because Rich Twat, brackets, my phone corrected that incorrectly, but I am keeping it, close brackets. Biscuits are the worst, and Molten Milk biscuits are fucking awesome. That is from Money Slinger. So it corrected Rich T to Rich Twat. Okay, I like that.
Rich Twat biscuits, obviously a big fan of the Church Coffee Morning.
Here is a vote from an unhappy ranker, Hurst. They say, all this has shown is that neither of you know what a good biscuit is.
Who's this?
That's my wife.
Oh, shut up, Harriet.
She does vote for me, though, so good work, wife.
Double shut up, Harriet. What are you doing?
Both strong lists this week. So this ranker obviously disagrees with my wife. So start off, both strong lists this week. The M&S biscuits are seriously good. However, milk chocolate hobnobs are the daddy. Regards, Malcolm. He's called himself Malcolm, so we don't confuse him with the Malks, I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good one, Malcolm.
Now... Well, yes. Well, wait a second. Who do you think he voted for from what he said?
Me?
No, you're wrong. He voted for me. I would also say that that comment suggests that he was going to vote for you. Apologies for moving in my chair there, wankers. Wankers? I called them wankers.
I can't believe
that's the first time that's happened.
24th of January, 26th, since the first time it happened.
Yes. This might also be, I was thinking, this might be the first time we've recorded in the morning. Hello, Rankers. Squirrel here. We realised at this point that Hurst was using his laptop microphone and not his proper microphone, so that's about to improve. Sorry about that. Thanks for listening, etc., etc., etc. Wipe those crumbs off your microphones. It's DavPaz here. Got to go with Hurst this week, as Squirrel's selection was just too highbrow for my simple tastes. I am sorely tempted to go and get some chocolate-covered custard creams, though. Hurst also gets some credit for remembering my name this week, the Little Tinker. Rankers and unite. Thanks, DavPaz.
Nice one, DavPaz.
And the last comment is, chocolate hobnobs reign supreme, with Tuck snapping at their heels. I am very much an Aldi Oaty man myself. Squirrel turned up with far too many fancy pants biscuits. Cheers, Cov. Thanks, Cov.
And then went to Italy.
And then went to Italy.
With his fancy right. pants friend and his fancy pants job.
Yep. Yep. So here's the results.
Oh, come on then, let's hear it.
Well, first, we have something to decide. A ranker got in touch and said they had already voted, but had since tried some of the other biscuits they hadn't already tried and wished to change their vote. Do we allow this?
I think for the good of the world, we should allow it, because this is an important resource for the Times. And if they've made the effort to get in touch, we should let them change their vote.
Yes, this was literally, it was either yesterday or the day before. It was yesterday. In that case, Hurst, I got 19 and you got 18. Your wife has done you.
To be honest, though, when we went on holiday, I saw some Fox's Crunch Creams.
That's exactly what she was writing about.
And I procured them and we had them on holiday. And I messaged her, I was like, you know what? Fair play. I forgot about these. I used to have them years ago and they slipped out of my psyche. So I'm happy to spare you the full pedo and grant you the swing vote.
Right.
And to be honest, when I was trying to look at the votes to see how many I'd won in a row, I accidentally voted for me this week anyway. So if it would have been close, I was going to remove my vote from contention. So in fact, if I'd won 19-18, I'd have taken it off and would have had to go to AI. But as it stands, Squirrel is the king of the biscuits. So why don't you tell us what your top five are?
In at number five, McVitie's Digestives. At number four, chocolate-covered custard creams. At number three, Tuck cheese sandwiches. At number two, Marks & Spencer's milk chocolate rounds. And at number one, Fox's golden crunch creams are the best biscuits. It's official, Les.
Fantastic. Wow. I guess we move on to the business end of the podcast.
Yeah, put that one into the annals of history, because we are moving on to discuss adult cartoons. Now, this was suggested by DavPaz, and I did get in touch with DavPaz to say, when you say adult cartoons, you know, are you talking about things on the TV? Are you talking about anything animated? Can I include anime? Are we thinking adult cartoons are hentai, which is anime sex porn stuff? I don't know, right? And we decided that adult cartoons probably isn't going to include anime. That can be its own separate subject. So don't get upset, weebs, if we're not talking about Ghost in the Shell or Akira enough. Oh, no, you don't like that, do you, weebs? What do you like? You like that cooking one where everybody has an orgasm because the food's so good. Anyway.
What the fuck is going on? I'm going to speak up right now. There are only three adult cartoons I've ever watched, so I had to do a little bit of last minute cramming. I had no internet on the TV on holiday, so my capacity to research has been very limited. I crammed in a few first episodes of some stuff on Friday just so I could get to five. You might spot that in my write-ups of what some of these things are about, but I've never watched any anime, so there's really no point putting it on the wheel.
You've never watched any anime?
No.
You've not even seen things like Akira or Ghost in the Shell or Battle Angel Alita or...
I saw the film Alita Battle Angel.
Well, yeah, but not Battle Angel Alita, which is the manga.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that.
Well, there we are. Never mind. So anyway, rankers, these are cartoons primarily aimed at adults, which are, well, I'm going to say in English, right? So they are not what we would consider anime, and they're not porn. Well, at least none of mine are porn. I don't know about hers.
No, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, right.
Well, maybe I could do some research, I suppose.
So anyway, Hurst, how do we decide who's going to go first?
Well, let's flip the coin of destiny.
Here it is. Heads for Hurst, squirrels have tails. Will it go? Oh, it's heads for Hurst.
Excellent.
Let's get ranking.
In at number five, I have a program called Rick and Morty. Basically, what happens on Rick and Morty is Doc Brown and Marty McFly get their own spin-off show where Marty reinvents himself as Morty but continues to let Doc put him into crazy, dangerous situations. Totally funny, according to loads of people. I thought it was all right. Number five, Rick and Morty.
There you go. Are you aware that it was originally Doc and Marty?
No.
Oh, there you are. So, okay. Yeah.
I got that right.
You did. You absolutely got that right. Excellent work. Yeah, it was a YouTube kind of thing called Doc and Marty, but obviously they couldn't use that in their own TV show, so they changed it.
Excellent. Well, I certainly picked up on the important elements of the show, the dynamic of the relationship of the two guys, although Marty McFly's parents were much more oblivious in their own world. But I say that, so are Morty's parents, from what I can see. They don't seem to give a shit what's happening to him. Yeah, well, it pretty much is. Yeah.
Keep watching, but yeah. Cool. At my number five, I have the animated version of Harley Quinn, which came out in February 2023. And there's five series of it so far. We're crossing our fingers for a sixth because it is brilliant. It stars Kaley Cuoco, who is from The Big Bang Theory. She's Penny from The Big Bang Theory, and she's from other stuff as well. She voices Harley. And basically, the premise is Harley realizes that the Joker doesn't love her. He just uses her to get away from Batman. And when I heard about it, I'm like, oh, it's another DC animated show like Teen Titans or fucking Batman, which are okay, right? And I like them. And I watched the trailer, and one of the first lines in the trailer is when Harley is telling Frank, and Frank is one of Poison Ivy's plants, and he's big and he can talk like Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors, he looks like. And he tells Frank that the Joker doesn't love her, and Frank says,
oh, boo fucking who? Come talk to me after St. Bernard shits on your face!
And I'm just like, okay, this is going to be very different to all the other DC shows. And it is. It is filthy. It's super violent. It's fucking hilarious. If you have a passing knowledge of Batman and would be amused by a running joke about people thinking that he fucks actual bats, then you should check it out. It's fantastic. Harley Quinn is my number five. Ooh, I'm doing best joke, Hurst. Best joke from each one. Although I haven't really for this one, because the best joke in this one is just Bane. It's everything Bane says. He's like, obviously Bane is this giant hulking genius of a man, but he's so relentlessly picked on by everyone else and he's just so sad about it. And he's just like, it's just fucking fantastic. So yeah, anything Bane does.
Excellent. Bravo. Okay, my number four is a program called Futurama, where a pizza boy called Fry travels forward in time to deliver pizza in the future on his spaceship, the Persephone. He falls in love with a purple-haired cyclops called Lola, who cries single tears straight into her mouth, so she has to learn not to cry, which makes her into a badass. Fry forms a ragtag band of delivery goons, Bender the robot, his nephew, Grandad, Lara the hot cyclops who's hard, and Zorbit the crab. They travel around the universe delivering pizza, getting up to crazy hijinks. It's quite funny. It made me laugh out loud a few times in that one episode. So my number four is Futurama.
There was so much wrong in there. Did you call her Lara? She's Leela.
I called her Lola and I called her Lara, apparently.
It's Leela. Leela. Okay, you called the spaceship Persephone?
Yeah, it looked like it was probably called Persephone. I kind of made that up.
Planet Express trip. Right, okay, fine. Okay, good.
But yeah.
Futurama is fucking banging. It's excellent.
It did actually make me laugh quite a few times.
Yes.
So that's really what got it up there. And I only managed to get through about four things that I hadn't seen before. So there's a vast universe of things. I didn't even know Harley Quinn was its own adult cartoon. So I'm not expecting much love from the crowd, apart from I know that the things that I'm saying are well-loved and make for a good list. So.
This is true. Future. If someone just looks at that list, Futurama... Although you could argue it's not entirely focused to adults, it certainly has bits that are focused to adults, so probably fine, right? It's got robot prostitutes. It's going to be fine. Yeah, Futurama's fantastic. That might work quite well in your favor. My number four is one you wouldn't have heard of. It's called Final Space, and it's been going since 2018. There's three series of it, and then it got cancelled, and the fourth one is coming out as a comic, hopefully soon. It's about Gary Goodspeed. He's our hero. He's serving the last few days of a 5-year sentence on board a prison ship called the Galaxy One. He is all on his own until he finds a cute alien called Mooncake, who says chocolatey, and has the ability to shoot lasers out of his head because, you know, fine, that's the sort of thing that happens. And bad guy, who's called the Lord Commander, who's voiced by David Tennant, who is excellent in this, he wants the alien because he wants it as a weapon. So there's your plot, at least to start off with. You know, bad guy wants to take Mooncake away. And Gary, actually talking about Futurama, Gary starts off quite like Fry from Futurama in his levels of slapstick idiocy, right? But as episodes go by, he's just so ridiculously likable that without realizing it, you're suddenly fucking all in on him and the group that gets put together to deal with the Lord Commander. They're called Team Squad. Oh, and at the start of each episode, each of the 10 episodes, there's a single minute section about how Gary is floating in space and he's got 10 minutes to live. And then the next episode, he's got 9 minutes to live. And you're coming toward the end of the series, you find out how he got in that situation and all what happened. And yeah, he's just chatting to the shit's computer about how he's going to die. And it also has the best fist bump in all of history, Hurst. And even though I won't be able to show this to you, Rankers, if you know, you know. Hurst, you can watch it there on that YouTube link I've just given you in the comment. While you do that, I will tell the Rankers that the best joke is he has a companion droid who is meant to keep him sane, but he's just utterly hateful and we all hate Kevin. Kevin is the worst thing that exists. And anyway, the Galaxy One is going to blow up and there's like a countdown and Gary doesn't have enough time to make it to the airlock, so he's running as fast as he can and then he just runs off screen and Kevin's just there and then Gary runs back on screen just to drop kick Kevin and then run off again and it's so fucking funny. So there we go. Have you seen the fist bump yet, Hurst?
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good.
There we go. So there you are. Number four, Final Space. If you haven't seen it, can be tricky to get hold of now. All the episodes are on the Internet Archive, weirdly. Otherwise, ask me and I'll get you a copy because it's fucking brilliant.
Excellent. Bravo. Mm. Number three, we are finally into the things I've actually watched multiple series of, so I might actually have something useful to say, although probably not. But my number three, phrasing, danger zone, holy shit snacks, it has to be Archer. Just brilliant. An alcoholic, inept, but yet also awesome spy. called Archer works for. I think it's like a private spy company. It's not government espionage, is it? But I'm never really sure what's going on with there. So
they are deliberately ambiguous.
Yes, deliberately ambiguous. I like it. So there's Pam, Archer, Mallory, who's in charge of it, who's Archer's mum. Also an alcoholic. Figgis, the accountant. Lana, the crazy, crazy hot other spy who has a love-hate relationship with Archer. They're both super hot and both super good at spying, but she's trying to do it properly and he's just a twat. And then Krieger, the mad scientist. So it's just it's a great setup for a weird set of series. The first couple of series were fantastic. When they started going into other situations, I sort of drifted away from it. But what I've taken for my top three is as a body of work, how much it made me laugh. Archer, I have not seen. I mean, I think they're up to like season 9 or 10 or something.
There
I think
14 series of Archer.
Jesus. I think I fizzled out after season 4 or 5 or something. But watching back some of the funniest bits, it has made me want to go back and do the whole thing again and see if I can get through the Miami Vice weirdness and all of that. So yeah. Just really funny.
All right.
That's it, my number three, Archer.
All right. I don't think I've ever had a harder to place top three than I have in this category. I still literally, until right now, I don't know how I'm going to place these three and in what order they're going to go.
Wow, this one really did lend itself much more to you than to me, didn't it? Because this was an absolute piece of cake for me and I had to struggle to try and get my fourth and fifth ones.
I just didn't expect to find it so difficult to choose, and I'm just talking because I haven't chosen yet. And I'm really trying hard not to let recency bias into this because I'm currently rewatching Archer, like, right now. My number three is going to be Archer as well.
Excellent. You can tell them a bit more about it because I didn't really remember much about it.
Archer started in 2009. There are, like I said, 14 series of it. And like Hurst said, it's a send-up of Cold War espionage thrillers, right? Starring Sterling Archer, who is the most dangerous spy in the world. He's also hateful, alcoholic, womanizing, idiotic genius, who is a legitimately fantastic secret agent. Or at least he's a legitimately fantastic badass. Because he has a habit of telling women he's a secret agent so he can sleep with them, which probably isn't like in the fucking manual, right?
No. Yeah, he's definitely got all the skills, but not so much of the secrets.
Maybe not the common sense, right? But it's so funny, right? The dialogue is just superb. It's so fast-paced and the in-jokes appear immediately and they just keep coming and the references are just absurdly obscure. And Brett keeps getting shot. And it's incredible. And I fucking love it. It's like episodes are like a fucking puzzle box of interconnecting lines of dialogue and escalating running gags and payoffs that were set up like right at the beginning of the episode without you even realizing it. And just fucking, it's just beautiful. And I can't overestimate how well written the dialogue is. It's everything from changing tempo to the way that lines interrupt each other and combine to create something else. And then how often it jumps from one scene to another. And the first word of the new scene would have been the last word from the old scene, but they cut away just before that. And there's a new conversation that probably has a name. Let us know, filmmaking Malks. And yeah, it's just great. The characters are really well defined. They're stereotypical, but not always in the way you expect. And they certainly suffered from some flanderization in the early series. They settle down really quickly, and it's just brilliant. And I fucking love Archer and long. Well, I was going to say long may it continue, but of course it's finished. But there are like 153 episodes, so that is fair enough. Number three, Archer.
Yeah, what Squirrel said.
Yeah. Oh, and the best joke. The best joke maybe. Is it the first episode? It's certainly an early episode where Lana, who is, as has discussed, like what she was going out with Cyril Figgis, but then she found out that he cheated on her. So she just decided to sleep with everyone in the office and they were taking numbers. And Cyril was in there going, oh God, I can't believe it. And then Ray, who is gay, says to him to calm down. He's like, why are you here, Ray? And Ray holds up his own ticket. He's like,
but you're gay.
And Ray says,
girl, please. Nobody's that gay.
Just fantastic. It's been a while since we got the horn, Hurst.
Yeah, it has been a while since we have aligned on any single number. So, yeah, happy days.
Right.
Let's see if that continues at all. I imagine yours is going to be probably more niche, but there's got to be at least one of my top two has to be in your top two, I would have thought. Yeah, so my number two, and I've flipped a coin a little bit between one and two because they're the only two that I've seen many, many, many episodes of. Both have suffered with starting accidentally sort of fading off and not being as good or going a bit weird and then coming back strong, and just looking through the best bits of both, it was just down to which one made me laugh the most in 15 minutes of this program's funniest gags. And actually at that point it wasn't that close. One made me smirk a lot, one made me actually laugh out loud a lot. So my number two is South Park by Matt Stone and Trey Parker, which has been going, I think, since like 1997 or something, hasn't it? It's
so
a long, long time. I remember it being massive when I went off to university in 98, so I suspect it was sometime around then.
It was 97, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that will check me out, guessing it right. For me, four kids in a tiny little town called South Park in Colorado. They are all friends, but no one's really sure why they're friends with Cartman, slash they're not really friends with Cartman, but he hangs around with them. And he's a little sociopath. And a lot of what's really funny, especially about the early series, is what Cartman's up to. That carries on forever, for Cartman's always a crazy little narcissist, and you can always rely on him to carry some ridiculous storylines to the point when he almost got gingers to take over the world because they made him believe he was ginger because he'd been ripping on the gingers. And then he started up a cult and was about to end the world. And they said, no, you're not actually ginger. He just kind of danced his way off. There was the time when he ate all of the skin off the KFC and then just left the chicken, and the others were so pissed off they pretended to ignore him to the point he thought he had died and was a ghost.
Isn't that something we all just want to do though, right?
Yeah, just
to peel the chicken and just eat the skin.
I thought it was about pretending we're ghosts.
Oh no, I mean eating the chicken.
I don't know, I actually like the chicken with the skin. I think just eating the skin makes me feel weird.
Oh shit, let's hope we never rank that. Let us know, Patreons.
I mean, I like the skin, but it needs to be, it's like just taking the custard off the sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah, but if you could just have the sticky toffee sauce. Anyway, sorry, we're getting sidetracked, Rankers.
We are getting sidetracked. So he pretends he's a ghost and worked with Butters to try and get himself sent off to heaven because he's obviously in purgatory, and just the naked nonsense he does. And there's so many great Cartman moments. But as it goes on, Buttons becomes more of a character, and the Cartman-Buttons relationship is
stop just calling him Buttons.
Butters. Butters comes along more. The Cartman-Butters relationship just grows, and a lot of the other characters start to become funnier, most especially Randy. Randy at one point becomes a bit too Randy, not in the horny way, just he becomes almost too much of a caricature of himself, but he does get himself into some ridiculous situations. He's like the Homer and the Peter Griffin of their respective things. He's the ridiculous dad that's always hilarious. When he buys the marijuana farm and calls it Tegrity Farms, that's some genius shit right there. Tegrity. There are loads of great characters, but what's really great about South Park is that it is so on the money with its political satire. Everything that's happening, they are straight on it and making a really funny joke out of it. When they did the movie, and it was Saddam Hussein sleeping with the devil, and the second Trump got into office again and started doing Trump things, he was fucking the devil, and it was no longer just Mr. Garrison dressed up in orange. Like, it's like, now we can't just pretend anymore. We're going to throw him right in there and say, no, this is who we're talking about. So they were always just so on the pulse. South Park has been brilliant for a very long time. My number two, South Park.
Yep, certainly fair. 28 seasons of South Park now has. Jesus. Okay. That is a lot. I certainly haven't watched it for a long while, but I do, you know, the earlier ones I did like a lot. When Randy was on Wheel of Fortune, that is something that annoys everybody. God damn it. They're all poking their heads out from behind cameras. Yes. And, yeah, if you know what we're talking about, you know what we're talking about. oh, God. So good. Anyway, I've put my, they're in order now. My number two is going to be Rick and Morty. It is superb. It is possibly one of the most creative things on television, I think. Why is it so good? So Rick and Morty is, as her said earlier, it's about a grandfather and his grandson who go on adventures. And they literally call this out in the show. They're like, this is what we do. We go on adventures. Rick and Morty having adventures. It breaks the fourth wall a lot. It is stupid and brilliant at the same time. It's fart jokes and laser guns. And at the same time, somehow that's questioning if free will exists or if love is just chemicals. And you just get whiplash, right, from working out if you're being a 12-year-old or you're being a fucking philosopher, and it's genius. The sci-fi ideas it has are genuinely top tier. It doesn't do alternate universes or time travel, although it's done both of those things, but it says it doesn't do them. But you've got universes where everyone is a chair. You've got an entire society that was created just so Rick's car battery would work. It is just so clever. And the things it comes up with is just, I don't know how they think about these things. I'm thinking LSD, probably. Rick himself is a monster. Like, he is just absolutely terrible. He's a genius. He's an addict. He's right about everything. And he sabotages relationships constantly. He claims nothing matters. And it's basically what happens if his intelligence and trauma go to the pub and never come home. It's so well done. But then you've got Morty, who kind of keeps it grounded and human because he's an idiot. Without him, it would just be clever noise, right? But Morty is bringing the fear side of things. He's bringing conscience and guilt, and he's the emotional anchor. There you are, in inverted commas, in a universe that keeps screaming that nothing matters, which is very British, very, very much like us. And there are just jokes everywhere. There's jokes in the dialogue, obviously, but there's also jokes in the background poses, the jokes in the way that the aliens are drawn. There's throwaway lines. Entire plot structures turn into jokes as well, which is just fucking so clever. And it hates itself just enough. Like, the show actively mocks its own fandom and anyone that's obsessed with the lore and the storytelling. And it even mocks its own storytelling in an episode about stories. And the meta stuff, which it does a lot, isn't just clever for the sake of being clever. It's the writers going, yeah, we know, calm down, Reddit. It's self-awareness that stops it from disappearing up its own ass, or its own portal, I guess. So, yeah, it is stupid, and it is clever as fuck, and it is also hilariously funny. It's a bit cliche, because fucking everyone goes on about it when they had an episode about McDonald's Szechuan sauce. McDonald's actually bought it back because the demand was so high. And then, of course, because Rick and Morty fandom is terrible, they fucking basically had a riot at the store that bought it back. But anyway, yeah. Pickle Rick. Oh, best joke, Hurst. Best joke from Rick and Morty. It's where everyone's in trouble and Jerry is the father, and Jerry is fucking useless, voiced by the same person that voices Cyril Figgis. And this is Chris Parnell, if you're wondering. And anyway, Rick somehow gets Jerry a gun, shouts out,
"Just go with it, Jerry. Everybody drop your guns, except for Jerry." Fucking classic.
Because Jerry's terrible at everything. So there we are. That was brilliant. Anyway, yeah, Rick and Morty, go watch it again, probably.
Yeah, what Squirrel said, but for my number five.
Yep. What Squirrel said, probably going to cut a lot of that out because I think I just went on and on, but there we are.
Someone's got to do some talk in this episode.
Someone's got to talk about some shit. Well, can you talk about your worst, Hurst?
BoJack Horseman. So to explain, basically in a dystopian present, some people have the heads of animals. BoJack Horseman is one of them. He has the head of a horse. He's an alcoholic ex-TV star living with a hobo called Jesse Heisenberg, and he's kind of an asshole. And that was pretty much what happened. The saving graces for it are that Will Arnett is the voice of BoJack Horseman, and Will Arnett is hilarious.
Yep.
And
a lot of big names in BoJack, actually. Aaron Paul, I was going to say, yeah.
Is the voice of the hobo, which I can't remember his name, which is why I've called him Jesse Heisenberg, off of reference to his days in Breaking Bad. So, like, some great cast. Just, I didn't get it. It didn't make me laugh. It didn't make me care about any of the characters. And, you know, compared to the other three that I got through last night, the other one that almost made the list was Disenchantment, which I actually found really funny, but thought Rick and Morty had a little bit more novelty going for it. It was a, like you said, it's very original. So that's why that made my list. And I couldn't really have Disenchantment and Futurama next to each other because, again, both Matt Groening, both similar kinds of humor. But I think I will probably continue down the road with Disenchantment and Rick and Morty to see whether or not I invest enough time to really get to know them. Not quite like you have. I mean, you have gone full on TV critic.
Well, I've just seen them.
and this is definitely much more your genre than mine. I'm not hoping to keep up on that. I can only talk about what I've been able to achieve in the evening that I've had to get this done.
Cool. So your worst is, what was it called?
BoJack Horseman.
BoJack Horseman. All right. Okay. So for my worst, IMDb, you can vote on things on IMDb to say how good you think they are. And the voters are largely positive, especially to comedies. Like Mrs. Brown's Boys has 7.1 out of 10.
Fuck that.
The dire Only Fools and Horses spin-off, The Green Green Grass, has 6.6. Saved by the Bell, The College Years has 6.3. Velma is an alternate universe adult-themed prequel to Scooby-Doo, and it's rated at 1.6 out of 10, and honestly, that's 0.6 too many. It's won some awards. Fucking Business Insider, Digital Trends, and TV Line all had it on their list of worst shows of 2023. Digital Trends actually had it as the worst show of 2023. And it's a shame because there's so much talent involved, right? Kelly Kapoor off of The Office is one of the writers and plays a now South Asian American Velma. Constant Wu plays Daphne, and she's East Asian American now. Sam Richardson plays Shaggy, but now he's called Norville, which was always his real name, but obviously everybody called him Shaggy. He's now African American, and Glenn Howerton off of Always Sunny is Fred, and Fred's the same as he always was. Scooby isn't in it. I think everyone's also bisexual or gay. There's nothing wrong with changing some sexualities or races, but the real problem is how it's been done by people who seem to absolutely hate Scooby-Doo. It's just fucking terrible. I'm not even going to fucking talk about it so bad. I'm going to let the LA Times have the last word on this. There are porn parodies featuring the Scooby-Dan that are funnier than Velma. There are inadvertent cell phone videos inside of purses and pockets that are funnier than Velma. There are traffic accident videos that are funnier than Velma. The only actual comical thing about Velma is that someone thought it would be enjoyed by others. Fucking awful.
Wow, that is scathing. I'm with you. I'm all for, you know, recasting to all sorts of genders, race, whatever. I'm not bothered by that at all. But when it feels done just to show how on board someone is with the woke culture, which again, I don't say people use woke as a bad thing. I never really understood why.
Mm-hmm.
But just to do it for the sake of showing how diverse and clever you are, it just feels contrived.
Yes, which would be fine if they were clever about it, but they're fucking not. Anyway.
Yeah. So you have to make it good enough to not see that that's what they've done. Obviously, they haven't on this.
Yes. All right, enough talking about that shit, Hurst. Let's hear the best.
Excellent. I would be surprised if we're not going to get an air horn and only our second ever number one air horn here, because there is something that has been omitted from both of our lists so far that is an all-pervasive part of society. Everyone can quote it. Everyone's watched it. And I've never met anyone who's gone, no, I don't really get it. I don't find it funny. And that is, of course, Family Guy. Family Guy has been going for a very long time now as well. Can't tell you when, because again, I didn't really do my research on it. But watching through, as I said, on YouTube for the three that I knew I was going to have in my list, Family Guy funniest bits are by far the funniest of the funny bits. It's so strangely wrong. I haven't got an awful lot of notes on it, but...
well, 1999 can go into your notes.
Jesus, 1999. Oh, I put it on the back.
Actual bits of paper, Rangers.
Well, that's it. I thought I'd watch a few things and write some notes down, which is everything you've got so far. So my summary was so wrong, so offensive, so funny. There's no real story to it. It's a lot like Simpsons in as much as each episode is entirely unrelated to the one before. Each one sets itself up and has its own gag, but it has the ongoing relationships and in jokes. Peter Griffin is an R-rated Homer Simpson, basically. All the things that the Simpsons, you think, oh, it'd be really funny if Homer did this, but obviously they could never do that. But Family Guy's like, nah, we're going to do that. The jokes don't necessarily make any sense. They set themselves up just for the sake of jokes. They can spend half an episode on something Seth MacFarlane decided was going to be funny, and he was going to use half an episode, sod the story, to make it happen. Like 5-minute punch-ups between Peter Griffin and a giant chicken. It works. Like, you just cram the rest of the story in around that because that is worth it. And I love that he does that. His whole sense of humor is brilliant. Things like he uses racism to poke fun at racism, similarly to the thing you said with Randy in the South Park. They do it so cleverly that you don't think, oh, he's being racist. It's like he is basically taking the piss out of racists, and any racists that watch it are going, yeah, don't realise that it's them that are the butt of the joke. It shouldn't work, but it does. So he's super fat and ugly, and he's got his smoking hot wife Lois, who we discussed in TV sitcom Wives. Mm. There are almost no redeeming characters in it, but somehow you love all of them. Obviously, the expression "shut up, Meg" came from it. The mental abuse that Meg goes through in that family should definitely not be funny, but yet somehow it is.
And she looks just like Lois, but with different colored hair and glasses. Yeah. And apparently she's the most ugly thing that's ever existed.
Yeah, it's a stranger one. And they've got people like Adam West doing cameos. Like, actual Adam West is the mayor. Not playing the voice of the mayor, but is the mayor. Playing the voice of Adam West. And he has a weird relationship with Meg as well. The whole thing is bizarre. And whilst Peter Griffin is clearly the one that has the funniest antics, it's the relationship between him and all the others. So his buddies, Quagmire, the sex pest, and... oh, shit.
Cleveland, Joe?
Yeah, fucking hell.
Those guys.
The sex pest. Cleveland, the token black neighbor who is gets knocked out of his bath a bunch of times. I don't fucking know.
No.
Yeah. And then Joe, the disabled police officer, who would be the guy who is the moral beacon, but obviously not being able to be a police officer like he used to be, running around chasing down the bad guys, being a physical specimen. Instead, he's stuck in a wheelchair and is forced to be mates, really, with these three other no good Nicks who drag him down to their level. All the wives are hotter than the husbands. It's just a strange program. I'm not doing it any justice, but fuck it. It doesn't matter because everyone has definitely watched it and laughed That's at
true.
It.
Absolutely true. Yeah.
Would you like to hear a fact and an estimated fact about Family Guy?
Yes, please.
Okay. Fact. Stewie is English because Seth MacFarlane originally voiced him as an over-the-top impression of a posh British theatre critic who once savaged his college stage show, and the voice stuck.
All right.
Fact. Seth MacFarlane missed the 9/11 flight he was booked on because he was hungover and arrived late at the airport. Plane was American Airlines Flight 11.
Righto. Yeah, everybody knows the second one is true.
I just found out.
It gets referenced a lot on Comedy Roast, which he's in quite a lot of the time. So there we are. Wow, yes, I mean, that is the fact.
This is probably the most phoned-in episode I've ever done. So, yeah, for me, Family Guy is just every little piece of ongoing humour and every little gag is just such a specific humour, but it really appeals.
There we are.
My number one is Family Guy.
Excellent. So we are going to need a sound effect, Hurst. But we're going to need a sound effect that's new, because my number one is the 2014 TV show BoJack Horseman.
Oh my God.
It's happened. Oh, we've never had a worst to first.
That is new. We need to think about it. I was hoping you were going to do a better job of explaining Family Guy for me.
I'm afraid not. I'm going to convince you to watch BoJack Horseman, which is currently ranked in the top 100 TV shows of all time by people on IMDb. It has 3 individual episodes in the top 100 TV episodes of all time. It is fucking incredible. There are 7 series of BoJack Horseman. Really, there's only 6, but Netflix did that thing where they released 2 seasons or series that were shorter. And Wikipedia calls it a tragicomedy, and I feel there is the problem. It isn't funny. It is funny. It absolutely is funny. It's not specifically setting out to be hilarious. It's the least funny thing on my list. Absolutely. It's far more grounded than all the other shows, which feels like a weird thing to say considering it's about a talking horse where the whole world has anthropomorphized animals. They're not just people with animal heads. They're actually the animals, but they're actually they also all have sex with each other, including the humans. It's a bit weird, but somehow you forget about that like really quickly. BoJack is a old TV star. He was a comedian back in the 90s. He had his very famous TV show. He is someone like maybe, I don't know, Ray from Everybody Loves Raymond. And it's in the future now, and he's not as big a star anymore. And it's about how he is dealing with that and how, as a fucking terrible human being, he's not a human being, he's a horse, how he is trying to kind of figure out how to become a better person. It is lauded for its portrayal of mental health, addiction, trauma, depression, the hollowness of fame, and it has huge emotional depth and character development. It's fucking bleak. I've written it's fucking bleak at times, but it's not. It's just fucking bleak because BoJack just can't seem to rid himself of the various demons that he has, and he's legitimately one of the best anti-heroes I can think of, and he's a horse. Let's not forget that he's a fucking horse. It fucking whiplashes you between being hilarious and fucking devastating, and it has episodes that will live in your mind forever. I implore you to watch more of it, Hurst. It is one of the greatest things. Not just animated things. It is one of the greatest TV shows ever made. My best joke from this one is when BoJack gives a painting of a horse looking into the water to a child for its present, and the mother said,
"It's a 1970s pop art interpretation of the narcissist myth. How appropriate for a baby."
Narcissist? I thought the painting was about me.
Okay. Would you like a fact, an estimated fact about the TV show you hate, Hurst?
Sure.
Okay. Will Arnett has named BoJack as the hardest role of his career to get inside, admitting that he sometimes took the darkness of the character home with him. Fact, Will Arnett attended the 2020 Comic-Con dressed as a life-size BoJack the Horseman, but nobody knew it was him inside the mask so he could walk around undisturbed.
Yeah, let's go for that one.
That he went to the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Nope, made that up. Will Arnett has indeed named BoJack as the hardest role of his career.
Ah, how about
that? Most successful, just out of interest, you know. But all right, rankers. There are our top fives. Controversy this episode. How exciting.
In fairness, it would have been more controversial if I had watched more than one episode of the thing that I chose as my worst. In fact, there's probably hundreds of others out there that I didn't watch an episode of.
That's true. I'm surprised you didn't choose Cleveland.
I haven't seen that either.
Oh, right. It's terrible. So anyway, DavPaz, thank you very much for that suggestion. Please give us another if you haven't already.
DavPaz, for not really having put in the work. But for a week, yeah. I really wasn't able to. And the other part's like, well, how am I going to get into enough TV shows to make a decision on it? TV shows are great if it's something that I've seen a lot of. Cartoons, I literally have only watched three, as you now know.
New on the wheel of decision, Hurst, is the top five fictional Malks. Ooh. That's come from Malk. So thanks, Malk.
Wow.
We will see if that bad boy comes up. Other things. Ooh, what we got on there? Songs from Dirty Dancing. I haven't done a song one for a long time. I'm hoping for a song one. Top five sports movies. Top five Fast and Furious movies. Top five Girls Aloud song. I know Hurst is looking forward to that. And food ones. Top five McDonald's items. Top five finger foods. So all sorts. All sorts on the wheel, Hurst. Shall we give it a spin?
Let's give it a spin.
Off she goes. Ooh. What have we got? Finger foods.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if that was one or not.
It was very nearly fictional, Malk. Sorry, Malk. You nearly put one on and then came immediately off again. But
finger foods. We are doing
top five finger foods. Who suggested that? I believe it might have been Matt and Laura. Yes, Laura. beep that surname there. Is that the Matt and Laura fame?
That is Matt and Laura off of Matt and Laura, Friends of the Show.
All right. Thank you very much, Matt and Laura. Look forward to your episode on finger foods coming very soon.
Excellent.
What else do we chat about at the end, Hurst? What do we do now?
We mentioned that I'm an artist. And
you do. Go ahead and do that.
Well, I'm an artist, so buy some stuff because I'm doing this full time at the moment and I'm not making an awful lot of money doing it.
God damn it, rankers.
Speaking of which, I've done a couple of Kovac baits on my holiday, so I'll get in touch with him about those.
You bait your pigs deliberately so Kovac will buy them. Yeah, you just bait your Batman stuff. Yeah,
basically. One Batman, one Joker, going as a pair. He can have first dibs because he's bought stuff from me in the past. Also now do pet portraits as well. I've got a website, pet-portraits.uk, so if people have pets that they like and want me to paint or draw them, then get in touch.
Beautiful. We also must mention our excellent supporter hub. Hurst, do you want to go again?
Dav Paz, Kovac, Goddess Jasmine, and Meg on a temporary visa.
No, Meg's gone. Sorry, Meg.
No longer Meg. The other three can't they?
They do, but also Gaz Chap.
No way. We've got a fourth supporter.
we have a fourth official supporter.
Oh, welcome to the crew, Gazchap. That is, I feel this virtual hug that I'm sending your way.
He's not even moved his arms, Gazchap. I can physically, he has not changed at all, so it must be all mental.
It is. It's all mental. Right. I'm focusing hard on it right now at 12:40 on Saturday, the 24th of January. If you're feeling a little bit warm and fuzzy, it's because I just sent you a virtual hug.
There you are, Gazchap. Let us know if that happened. So you can find Top 5 Face Off on YouTube. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Blue Sky. You can find us on the internet. Just search Top 5 Face Off. You will end up with us. We've also got a Patreon, as you just heard. If you join the official supporter hub, we will mention you in every episode. If you just join the £1 tier, pound a month, literally unnoticeable to any bank account that isn't seriously unhealthy. Honestly, if you can't afford a pound a month and you're listening to this, stop listening to this. You've got stuff you could be doing. fuck you, the poor. But for £1 a month, you get to choose what goes on our wheel of decision, and we will spin it, and maybe you will come up. And you also get access to our bonus Patreon only episodes. Fuck me, we need to do one of them this month, and it's the 24th.
We do. That's going to be intriguing, so we'll figure that out.
But it will be excellent by the time we get there. Do you get anything else? You get access to some kind of notes about the show, which are largely boring, but people tell me they enjoy them, so I'll keep writing them. And other stuff, too, that I haven't even remembered. For £1 a month. Fucking no-brainer, mate.
Also, you'll get to see all of my reviews of biscuits that I wrote down. So,
oh, did you? Where are they?
Well, I'm going to send them to you so you can post them on the Patreon page.
And that's it. I guess that's all we say, right? Do we say anything else? Yeah, I think we've covered it. Yeah, all right. Please rewind this podcast for the next person to come along, and we will see you in a couple of weeks' time for Finger Foods.
See you later. Love you.
Top 5 Face Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in. Sorry for
tuning
my
in.
Woeful...
Thanks for tuning in, people from the 1980s.
Like us and all of our listeners.
Like most of our listeners.
But they don't have hooves. They have hands. So they are people.
He has hooves and hands.
What, like real horses? Let me just go and quickly spank the wife for her.
Oof.
Okay, I asked TV shows as a question because I actually couldn't remember if it was just top 5 adult cartoons.
Technically it is, but I mean, I think that kind of suggests TV shows.
You want to re-record it so it says the right thing?
Fuck it. People have come to expect this level of fucking amateurism. Oh, that's also that, yeah. The top 5 and the worst of. And then how have I done this so badly? It's been a while since we got the horn, Hurst, isn't it?
Yeah, it has been. Giggity goop.
Okay, dickhead. I had some Pepsi Max in my mouth, Rankers.
Top 5 Face Off.